What should we be looking for in a relationship when we're looking for a potential partner, when we're dating? Like, what is it that we should be looking for in the other person and even in ourselves? So this is a question that I've learned the answers to from my own experience, from other people's experiences, and from the Lord revealing things to me, revealing blind spots to me, and just giving me the wisdom to know the answers to these, to this question. And in my past few episodes, I've been talking about breakups. I've been talking about singleness. And those have both been very relevant topics to me in the past few months and I guess few years. But some things have been changing in the past 2 months here. And I'm now in a relationship. Now, before you're like, whoa, whoa, hold on. Weren't you just going through a breakup? I do delay the time frame of me like releasing these to the events that are actually happening in my life. So I may talk about things a few months after they happen. But anyway, just so you know that. So we'll get into, you know, that more in a second here. But yeah, I wanted to talk about what we should look for in a relationship because I think it's super easy to get caught up in our world today and just dating just because, you know, just dating because, oh, he's attractive, or just dating because, oh, all your friends have boyfriends, so I'm going to get one too, instead of dating with intention. And if you're not dating for marriage, you're dating for heartbreak. Or you could say if you're not dating with intention, you're dating for heartbreak. Now, obviously, this is not to say the first person you start dating is going to be your future husband or wife, but this is to say that you would have a higher chance of that happening if you are dating with intention and not casually dating. So I hope that's something that we can agree on. If you're not dating for marriage, you're dating for heartbreak. Now, when dating, I think it's really important to ask yourself, you know, why are you dating? Are you dating because your friends are, or is it because you really want to? Or do you maybe need some time by yourself? Because that is perfectly okay. And with this being said, going back to the, you know, needing time for yourself. So in November, I went through a breakup. And this wasn't because the relationship was horrible, the person was horrible. It wasn't because of that at all. It was because we both needed healing and we needed to heal separately. And we felt the Lord telling us that we needed to let go of each other in order to heal. So for the time that we were broken up, we did not stay in contact. Like I mentioned in my prior videos, we just pursued the Lord and that is all we did. And from that, we knew we also couldn't hold on to a timeline of, you know, seeing each other or having like a set date to meet up again. Because when we ended the relationship, we both didn't want it to end. We both wanted to be together, but we knew that we needed to take time. We didn't know how long this time was going to be. It could be forever. You know, we did not know if we would ever end up together again one day. But we trusted God and the Lord brought us back together. Which is just crazy to think about how when the breakup happened, I was like just so confused. I'm like, why is this happening? And then a few months later, the Lord worked it all out. And I would not trade that time for anything. Like that breakup was so needed to really devote myself to God. But basically how we got back together was my friend, she invited me to a Christmas party. And it was kind of like last minute. I'm like, sure, I'll go. And it was, you know, just at, it was like this Christian kind of like organization. And they had this like Christmas party. So I'm like, okay, sure, I'll go. And on my way there, I had a feeling that I was going to see my ex. And I was like, am I gonna, like, I feel like, I just feel in my heart like I'm gonna see him. You know, I get to the party and I'm just talking to my friends. And I'm like, okay, I guess he's not here. I don't see him. Now, an hour goes by and all of a sudden my friend runs up to me and is like, oh my gosh, he's here. He's here. And I'm like, who's here? And she's like, what do you mean who? And I was just like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, what do I say? What do I do? And we ended up talking for, you know, a few hours and just talking about what the Lord was doing in both of our lives and, you know, what we had realized through this period of not having contact with each other. And then we waited a little while and we, you know, were really praying about this, really, you know, journaling and just fully submitting ourselves to the Lord's plan because we didn't want to get back together if it wasn't the Lord's will. And after praying and a lot of discernment and seeking like wise counsel and above all seeking what the Lord had to say. Now this is just a little glimpse of the story. There was so much that went into this, so much prayer. It wasn't like a whim of like, oh, I saw my ex in person again, we're going to get back together. It was not that at all. It was like, it was very clear that the Lord was like, you needed this time alone and now I'm bringing you back together. And it's really very cool to see the difference in our relationship from last year when we had our 1.0 relationship and then this year in our 2.0 relationship, which is what we like to call it. It's just very cool to see the difference. And the difference is because the Lord has changed our hearts, has healed things in us. And we are definitely not perfect, but we are always working to become more Christ-like and just always loving a challenge and to be challenged together and to grow together. So anyway, with that being said, I wanted to catch you up a little bit. It's been really cool. And I wanted to talk about what I've been learning in the past few months. And I guess the past few years of, you know, being in relationships and being single, because my eyes have definitely been opened about what dating, what a relationship should look like. And so going back to the way that the world views dating, I think it's really easy to kind of rush into things without being friends with someone first. And so, you know, when I first met my, you know, boyfriend, we were friends for about 6 to 8 months. I think it's so important to see someone's character because, you know, obviously we can't see into the future, you know, to know if this is for sure the person for you. But what you can see is someone's character, if this is even a good fit for you to start dating them. And if you don't have an intention with them while dating, then, you know, what's the point? Don't just rush into things just because you don't want to be lonely. So to go back to the first question we asked, what should we be looking for in a partner? To start with, I wanted to talk about how we shouldn't major on the minors. So in my Bible study group, we were talking about don't major on the minors, meaning the little things like, oh, he likes this certain hobby and I don't, so, you know, I can't be with him, or, you know, he's not really my type, so, you know, I can't be with him. He's a little bit shorter than me, so like now. And you know, obviously, I think that it is important to be attracted to your partner, but that is not the thing that should matter. I think I've heard a lot of times the best stories are when, you know, one of them, whether the girl or guy, weren't attracted to the other one initially at first, and then they started to see their character. And then when they started to see their character, their physical body and like what they looked like became even more attractive. Nothing changed on them, but it was just their character and the other person realizing how attractive they were. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, that specifically because I think our world today places a lot of importance on, oh, they have to make this certain amount of money, they have to have this career, they have to do this, when really all of that is going to fade one day. And then what are you left with? What are you left with when their looks fade, when they, you know, are retired, they don't have that job anymore? Are you really going to be content with them? And so that's what I wanted to mention to start with. Don't major on the minor things. So now I wanted to get into some questions that are really important to ask yourself when considering being in a relationship with someone, or even while in a relationship with someone. Maybe you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about this. It's better to get out now, even if you have a lot of time invested, rather than be married and alone. There was this saying, where did I hear? Better to be single and alone than married and alone. Like, wow. But anyway, so some questions to ask yourself. You know, whether it's the guy you're interested in or the beginning stages of dating, or even if you've been in a relationship for a while, I wanted to have this list of questions that, you know, I've asked myself and I've looked at that have really helped me see like what you should look for in a relationship, how to have a healthy relationship, you know, all of that. And so I'm not doing this in any particular order. These are just a list of questions that I think are really important. So number one, is the person self-aware? And all of these can also apply to you. So it's not just going for, you know, oh, is my boyfriend self-aware? Well, he could work on that. It's also looking at you and being like, well, I could be more self-aware. Self-aware meaning, do you realize when you make mistakes, when you mess up? Do you own up to that? Or are you like, no, I didn't do that. Like, what do you mean? And I've been there where I can get defensive. And this is something I'm working on, not getting defensive. But there have been times, even in this past week, where I've realized, I said something I didn't mean and I was expecting my boyfriend to read my mind. And that's not good. So I need to own up to that, no matter how hard it is to bring that up and be like, hey, you know, I apologize for doing this. It's something that's conditioned in my brain. I'm working through it. You know, whatever it is, explaining that you're going to work on doing better. You're going to, you know, ask the Lord for strength in this area, but you're just going to admit when you made a mistake. Now, number two, what does the fruit from the tree look like? A lot of times people can talk the talk, but not, you know, walk the walk. So maybe a guy that you're friends with, you've been friends with him for a little while and you're like, you know, I think that he might be a good boyfriend. I think I really want to be with him. And you keep, you know, having these ideas of being with him in your mind. But then you see, you know, he's really great around you. He says all these things like, yeah, you know, I like eating healthy. I like spending time, you know, helping little kids at church, or, you know, I like to journal and I like to do this. But then, you know, you ask what he's doing in the week or like what he did yesterday, and none of that adds up. So you want to see, like, what does the fruit on the tree bear? What are his actions showing, or what are her actions showing, or what are your actions showing? So there's a saying, actions speak louder than words. Someone can say a lot of things, not really mean it, and do the complete opposite. Now, another question you can ask is, what are their friends like? So Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So this is something that I've dealt with when, you know, looking at potential guys or even being in a relationship, seeing their friends. You know, how do their friends act? Because someone's friends are really good, give you a really good idea of how they are. Because it can be really easy to put on a front, you know, to someone who you like, but then act completely different around your friends. And I've seen this firsthand where I'm like, you know, I don't really like the way he acts around his friends, but he acts completely different around me. So wait a minute, which is the real him? You know, like, that's just not good. That's kind of like, maybe the person doesn't even realize they're being like that, but they're just conforming to whoever they're spending time with, and they are not strong enough on their own to have one stable character. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's just something that was interesting. And then, you know, how does he treat his friends and family as well? How does he treat his mom, his dad, you know, going the same way? I'm talking to the girls here kind of, but, you know, if you're a guy listening to this, like, how does she treat her parents? And now all the things I'm saying here, I don't want it to be like, oh, they don't check that off the list. No, automatic no. They were a little bit, you know, rude to that friend that one time. No, definitely not. I don't want it to be like so nitty gritty of like, you take them off immediately if they do one thing wrong. This is more if they have this pattern, and if maybe when you even confront them about this, or maybe it's just a continuous pattern of like, they're not going to change. So this is not saying that you can never make mistakes, but this is just saying, look at the person who, you know, you're in a relationship with, or you're thinking about being in a relationship with, and see if this is a consistent thing. And maybe if you do bring it up, you do say like, hey, you know, I noticed how you acted over there with that friend. Like, you know, I was wondering if there's maybe something better you could have said, or, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe you feel that you are convicted to confront them about it, and they're like defensive about it, and they don't hear what you're saying. I think that could be a little bit of a red flag if that happens continuously. And then going into, you know, the words people speak and being defensive and all that, what comes out of their mouth? So Matthew 5:11 says, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. So what are they speaking? Are they constantly gossiping or talking badly about others or talking negatively or complaining? Like, what are they saying? Another thing is, how is their work ethic? Like, could they provide for you? And, you know, if you're a girl, like, is he someone who kind of just sits around all day, plays video games, or is he someone who wants to work, wants to provide? This isn't saying that a woman can't contribute as well, but this is just saying, does the guy have a work ethic where he could provide if he needed to? And could he provide when you're married one day? So anyway, just look at their work ethic. And then another thing, is this person present with you? Maybe you are spending time with this guy in like group settings, right? And you notice that he's always on his phone. And you kind of thought that you might want to like date him because he's super nice and, you know, kind and attractive. But then you notice he's always on his phone. Like, even when you're talking to him, like, he pulls out his phone. And even when other people are talking to him, that might be an issue, because imagine if you get in a relationship with that person and they're always on their phone. They're never listening to you. Maybe they have a phone addiction. And now maybe this is something that you could bring up to them, or you could like ask their close friend, like, hey, is he always on his phone like that, you know? And you could see, but this is definitely something that you want to make sure this person can be present with you. And phone addiction is something that I've had to work on. Like, I used to be on my phone for like 10, 12 hours a day. Like, well, not 12, because that's like almost the entire day, but like 10 hours a day. It was a long time that I would be on my phone. And this is something that I've worked on. So this is not saying that you can't improve, but, you know, look at that when in a relationship or looking at someone for a potential relationship. And speaking about relationships, does he have a relationship with the Lord? We've been talking all about relationships, you know, should I get in a relationship? What's a healthy relationship look like? More important than any of that is, does he have a relationship with the Lord, or does she have a relationship with the Lord? Now, I don't know where you are in your faith journey, whether you just started, whether you're new to it, maybe you aren't following Jesus yet. But wherever you are at, for instance, about a year ago, I was super excited to do Bible studies and to read, you know, biblical books. If I was to be with someone who wasn't interested in that, that would kind of be an issue, because they wouldn't share that same spiritual desire. Maybe they go to church once a week, but they don't have the desire to read their Bible on their own. They don't have the desire to, you know, pray on their own. It's kind of just like, yeah, you know, if you want to read this book, I guess I'll read it, but there's not that same desire. And so, yeah, that's just something that is super important. You know, is this person on the same level as you or greater? Because I think in a relationship dynamic where the guy is the spiritual leader, I think that is how it's supposed to be designed. And so I've been in a relationship before where the guy was not the spiritual leader, and it made things very difficult. And so now where I'm at, you know, we are both on fire for the Lord and really excited to just, you know, share his word, start Bible studies, you know, get a part of Bible studies, you know, talk about the Bible with each other and talk about the Lord with each other. Like, we're on that same level, and he is leading me as well, which I just love to sit and learn and sit and listen to him teach. So anyway, super important. Does he have a relationship with the Lord? Not his parents' relationship with the Lord, not his friends' relationship with the Lord, but his own relationship with the Lord. The Lord should come first. God should come first. And if it does not happen that way, the relationship will fail. Even when I was in relationship 1.0 with my boyfriend last year, we said the Lord was first in our lives, but when it came to it, we would pick our relationship over each other. And I think this might be more true for me than him, but I placed him on like a pedestal, kind of above God too, which was not good. So yeah. And then going on to the next one, which these are related to, you know, the Christian walk and being Christ-like, but, you know, is he responsible with his money? And not just his money, but, you know, God's money, because everything we receive from the Lord, it is the Lord's. So when I get money, it's not mine. It's already the Lord's. But, you know, is he responsible with it? I was talking earlier about providing. Is he financially stable? Is he overspending constantly? And maybe he's working on his mindset about money. Maybe he's reading books and studying things about finance, and, you know, in relation to biblical principles. Maybe he's actively working on that. Then that's amazing. And that's something that I'm working on. I definitely like learning more about, you know, my finances and how to manage that and how to be a good steward of God's money. It's not something that, you know, you're perfect, you're good to go. And none of these are. It's just something to think about. And then another one, does this person put other people first, like before himself or herself? Are they humble or prideful? You know, what do they act like when they're in public or when they're at the gym or when they're posting on social media? Like what is the fruit that is coming off of the tree? And, you know, does this person, can they go deep with you in conversations? Like how open are they? I find that everyone that I've met has a different level of deepness, I guess we'll say. You know, the ability to go deep in conversations may not be something that is super important to someone looking for in a relationship. But to me, that is super important. But you want to be careful, though, not to trauma bond in the early stages. What I mean by this is, you know, I mentioned this in past episodes where I was just friends with a guy, right? And I would share intimate details about my life, like very deep things. And then he would share deep things too. And maybe they would be very similar to mine and we could relate in that. And then all of a sudden we're bonding over this trauma. But the issue is we're not in a relationship. And even if you are in a relationship, if it's the early stages on, you want to kind of wait. You want to guard your heart and, you know, just work on building that foundation and then slowly, you know, sharing things about your life. But I don't think that you should dump everything on to this person about your life in one sitting. And then the last two questions. Now, I know I have quite a few here, but does this person challenge me to be a better person and more Christ-like? This is something that is really important. And in friendships as well, when I look at my friends, like when we spend time together, we're talking about what the Lord is doing in our lives. We're talking about the times that we kind of like slipped up and made a mistake, and we're giving each other advice. We're talking through things, and it's making me a better person. It's making me more Christ-like, more like Jesus. And I think that's really important. So that's a really key question to ask yourself. And then lastly, this is super important. So I wanted to save this for last. Obviously, all of these are important, but I wanted to talk about guarding your heart. So Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for all life flows from it. So whatever you're filling with your heart is going to determine what your life is going to be. And so whether you're in a relationship or possibly going to be in one, you want to see, is this guy or girl guarding my heart? And by this, I mean quite a few things, but I mean boundaries, physical boundaries. Now, I'll probably do a whole separate episode on this because this is a very big topic. But for me specifically, I had specific boundaries and I didn't just want a guy to honor that. I wanted him to have the same convictions, the same boundaries. And I think that's really important when you're in a relationship to agree on that. And so, of course, you know, if you've been following Christ, then you've heard the term, you know, waiting for marriage. And like I said, this is something that I'll probably go a deeper dive into later on. But I think we have this idea that we can get as close to the line as possible. And, you know, we just have all these rules and regulations. And it's kind of annoying that we have these rules that we have to wait for marriage. But I've seen in my own life that God is doing this to protect us. Like he wants the best for us. And his design was to have this holy thing, you know what I mean, be between a husband and wife, because it does bring you together. And this is not saying that there is no redemption for anyone who has not waited, because the Lord can restore, the Lord can heal, the Lord can restore, and he forgives your sins. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, your sins were already forgiven. So anything you're going to do, any sin you're going to commit, it's already forgiven. But the whole point of repenting is to turn away from that sin and to look to Christ and look to God and be like, okay, you can lead me. I give up this sin. You know, maybe you fall back into it, but if you do, you're going straight to God, right? So anyway, talking about guarding your heart, does this person share the same beliefs with you? And I should have mentioned this earlier. Oh my goodness, I didn't, but I had it here on my outline, but I didn't mention it. So I wanted to talk about having the same values and beliefs. I cannot believe I did not talk about this, but yeah, the same values and beliefs are so important. Don't even consider a guy if he doesn't have the same core values and beliefs. I think it's really cool to write down what you look for, what you're looking for in a relationship, or if you are in a relationship, you know, what you want out of that relationship, or, you know, whatever it may be. And this isn't meaning like as a selfish thing, like, oh, I want him to be like this height and look this certain way. But this is just meaning like, what values do you have and what beliefs do you have that are non-negotiable? Like things that if this person doesn't have, you just cannot pursue a relationship with them. You know, for me, I obviously wanted to be with someone who was equally yoked. So someone who was a strong believer. That was super, super important. So anyway, going back to guarding your heart though, another thing is when you're in a relationship, are you guarding your heart against other people? You know, when you're out and about, are you being flirtatious with like other people? Are you, you know, making it known that you are in a relationship, or are you kind of leaving that like open-ended to whoever you're talking with out in public, you know? And obviously when you're dating, you don't have like the ring on your finger to for people to know like, oh, are they in a relationship? Are they not? Are they married? Are they not? But they should be able to see by your actions. Now, I'm not saying to write on your head like, you know, I have a boyfriend or whatever, but something that I'm careful of is that I'm guarding my heart against, you know, for instance, not spending time one-on-one with guys, because that would not be protecting the relationship. I don't think for me personally, this could be individual, but for me personally, I don't think that's a good idea. And this isn't saying like, oh, I'm just too weak. It's just not giving a foothold to the devil to tempt us. It's just not even allowing temptation to sneak in there. Maybe you could withstand certain temptations if you were put in that environment, but maybe it would just be easier to not even be in that temptation in the first place. So yeah, I wanted to talk about that, guarding, you know, your heart while in a relationship, and more on physical boundaries definitely coming later. But I think that I used to have the mindset of, oh, I can just, you know, get as close to the line as possible. And I've seen this in my life where it caused a lot of issues, just even walking too close to the line. And so with my boyfriend now, we do not even want to have temptation come near us. So we have certain convictions in our heart from the Lord, and our heart posture has been changed in the way that we view intimacy. I think a lot of times people think intimacy is always physical. It's not physical. It's not just physical. It's also emotional. Like the way that I connect with my boyfriend when we pray together is just so powerful. You know, when we, you know, sing songs together, or when we have deep conversations together, when we, you know, share what we've been journaling, like that is intimacy. It's not just about the physical things. And, you know, I keep reminding myself and talking with my friends about this too, dating and relationships is the time where you can build a friendship with someone, like a strong friendship. And this is the time where you see for sure if this is someone you want to spend the rest of your life with. Now, this can vary for how long this is going to take someone to know, you know, if that's their forever person. But dating should not be the time where you are getting blinded by the physical things. It should be the time where you're building a connection. What I'm seeing now in my relationship is not letting you know, creating boundaries so we don't allow ourselves to be tempted has brought us actually closer together. And like I said, I'll talk more about this later, but it's just been really powerful. And I think that it's a personal journey with every person. Just kind of, you have to pray and discern for yourself what boundaries are important for you to guard your heart and for the other person to guard their heart. But yeah, with that being said, I really hope that you enjoyed today's podcast episode. I hope that it could be of benefit to you. I always say that I'm going to record like a 15-minute podcast, but that just never does happen because there's a lot to say. And so definitely going to do a part two, maybe even bring some like guests on and talk about relationships more. But these are just things that I think are so valuable to ask yourself. I think there were like 15 questions that I went over, so it was quite a bit, but they're just so important to ask yourself and about the other person, about yourself when getting into a relationship, because ultimately, a relationship shouldn't be something that's casual. If you're wanting to date with the intention of marriage, which I think is wise, I think we should really be careful about how we're approaching this. And we can be careful by asking ourselves these questions instead of rushing into something. So yeah, with that being said, I really do thank you so much for listening. I hope this could add some value in your life. If you did enjoy, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave a rating if you're on Spotify or other streaming platforms. And with that being said, I wish you a wonderful week, and let's keep creating a life we love together.